the break?
Absolutely.
You got away for a little while?
I did.
Yeah. Now you've stopped out, you're going to be fronting a parliamentary inquiry.
Well, look, I don't know where all this is coming from. As I said in that interview that I did with Andrew Clonell in the Daily Telegraph, when he just rang me about this, about which I know nothing, a parliamentary inquiry into racial vilification or hate speech or some such nonsense, it was suggested to me that this was a payback by Barry O'Farrell for some very tough interviews I did with him last year. I made the point that I've known O'Farrell for a long time. It has never occurred to me that he was that kind of person, and I'm sure he's not. Mm. On the other hand, we therefore need to know where this nonsense is coming from. I mean, where indeed, he got a thumping majority to get government out of people's lives, and yet it seems that wherever you turn, government's getting bigger and more bloated, more useless and more invasive. Now, for example, your name is Andrew Moore. We're reaching the point now where Andrew is no longer your Christian name, it is your given name. Mm. We're terrified that some thought policeman who's going to do something about us if we dare call that a Christian name. We now no longer, at the Christian festival called Christmas, say Merry Christmas. We have to say Happy Holidays.
Happy Holidays, yes.
Because we're allegedly offending some minority whom I don't know who they are, and we could finish up in the Human Rights Commission or some federal court to protect some unknown individual from being offended by proclaiming and committing to the Christian faith. Now, somewhere along the line, someone's got to put their foot down on all of this rather than become part of that kind of vendetta against anyone who's got an opposing viewpoint. Now, I noticed the Gillard government proclaimed at the end of the year that this wonderful triumph that even under a hung parliament, they passed more than 400 new laws, and how marvellous all this is. I would regard that as 400 nails in the coffin, because 400 new laws by government means more control, more cost, more freedoms eroded, more of this kind of stuff that we're reading about a parliamentary inquiry. We had a parliamentary inquiry, I think, into the coal seam gas industry.
Mm.
Every conclusion of that inquiry was ignored by the New South Wales government. But, Andrew, let me just get away a little from Alan Jones, Barry O'Farrell, and all of that stuff, and highlight where we are heading. Now, there is one issue which is becoming increasingly significant, and that is this issue about same-sex marriage. Now, it's an issue about which people on both sides have very strong views. That's understandable. And the contestability of ideas is what ostensibly a liberal society is all about.
Yes.
You battle for ideas. Well, I was reading a piece by a Canadian writer over the holidays, while I've been on holidays, called Michael Corran, and he said this about the debate over same-sex marriage, quote, "It's estimated that in less than 5 years, there have been between 200 and 300 proceedings in courts, human rights commissions and employment boards against critics and opponents of same-sex marriage. And this estimate doesn't take into account the dismissals that have occurred." In other words, people who persist in voicing their dissent are then subjected to investigation by human rights commissions or human rights tribunals or whomever, or they're paying fines, or you have to make an apology, or you have to undertake never to speak publicly on such matters again. Someone is going to have to stand up for fast diminishing freedoms, and the freedom of speech is one of them. And before we start taking as holy written gospel the conclusion of some tribunal, let's just analyse, as they do in America, who are these tribunals?
Mm.
What is their political affiliation? Have some of these tribunals, for example, in Australia, that have gone after me, are they tribunals made up of people of the left? Have they been appointed by the Gillard government or some other Labor government? Are they sort of former union disciples or whatever who are ever ready to regard anything that I might say which represents a dissentient view or is a critic of the government or a critic of some minority that's out of line, as worthy of being punished by this all-empowering, almighty tribunal? Now, when the Gillard government over and over again argue that Abbott is a misogynist, as I said in this piece to Andrew Clonell, that is designed to encourage e-voters to hate Tony Abbott. That's what it's about. Women are meant to hate him because he's a misogynist. Now, Abbott, though, on the other hand, would be the last person who'd want to be protected by legislation.
Yep.
Just because this has been said, we don't need some stupid tribunal, because we know these tribunals only protect those people on the left. They're not interested in protecting everybody else.
Well,
and we don't need them. We don't need them. Now, in America, of course, as I said, they have congressional hearings. And if someone's going to be appointed to a bench or a court or a board or whatever, you have to lay down in front of the parliament what their background is. Where do they come from? Are they from the left? What have been their previous affiliations? What have been their previous intellectual positions on these things so that we can objectively assess how valid their conclusions are? Now, in this election year, we are going to find from Canberra and everywhere else an attempt to close down any criticism of the Gillard government on any front at all, and there is draconian legislation before the National Parliament on this issue. I'm simply saying I don't believe the Farrell government should be getting into bed with those minorities.
Why are they?
No idea. I don't know where this has come from. I've no idea. But someone needs to give them a lesson on liberalism and on freedoms and what indeed the very policy they're supposed to support stands for. And the contestability ideas is the central component of an alleged liberal democracy. You get out of the marketplace and you win on the ideas front. Now, if we want people out there to have a tribunal of some sort to protect every poor little injured person who might think that something that has been said is going to offend them or hurt them, then we're giving up the independent, the resilient, the I'm all right Jack Australia of the past. People don't need these ludicrous protections against someone who might think they were insulted or offended by what was said. I mean, we're insulted and offended every day. But they're only interested in the people who are insulted and offended on the left. Only interested in the people who are insulted or offended as a minority. And that's why we say happy holidays. Who the hell are we offending by saying Merry Christmas? Who are we offending by saying Andrew is your Christian name and I won't be calling it a given name? So it's based on some assumption that I'm so weak that my ability to speak and my ability to defend myself is so limited that I'm so psychologically fragile that I'll need some other higher authority to protect my delicate sensibilities and shield me from the nastiness of the world. Now, come on. There are very important issues out there for the O'Farrell government to address. This isn't one of them.
But it's the thought police. So, as you well know, every time a nativity scene is taken away from a shopping centre or a school, every time the word Christmas is taken out of things, because it's to protect the sensitivities of other religions and cultures, it is the Muslims and the Jews and everyone else who comes out and says, don't be so stupid, we love Christmas, we embrace it.
Yeah, quite right.
You know,
quite right, mate. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Where is that opposition coming from? But you see, we're reaching a society, Andrew, which is becoming so simpering and so wimpish in this new world, we'll hide behind some external moral authority. Well, hey, here's one who won't and won't accept it.
Good.
And good luck to you. Do your best. Do your best. Begin the new year by having another campaign. Do your best. But I'll tell you what, you'll have to get up early in the morning and stay up late at night if you're going to round me up.
Good to hear. Now, there's a couple of other things to talk to you about. There's a story, I don't know whether you've put up with yet, in the Sydney Morning Herald on the front page today about coal seam gas, and no doubt an issue you'll take up with much fervour and passion again when you return. But it says fracking is back on the table for Western Sydney after the coal seam gas company AGL reversed a pledge not to use the drilling technique in the suburbs. And this is this area between Liverpool and Campbelltown.
Well, I congratulate the Sydney Morning Herald. I mean, I've warned people about this for 2 years.
Correct.
And I've said, forget Gunnedah, forget Tara, forget Casino. This is in your backyard. Well, you better wake up. What I said 2 years ago is coming to pass. And where is the government of New South Wales?
Well, the AGL initially submitted this report to the state government.
Now, not to the state government, to the bureaucracy. When you change government, it's like being in a horse race. You might change the jockey, but you don't change the horse. The horses are the bureaucrats. They are the people who are riding this deal. They were the ones who gave approval for all this in the past. They're not likely now to say we were wrong.
Definitely not.
So you
where does it end?
Well, out you go. Find the nearest Centrelink office. You're gone. You got us into the mess. Stop trying to perpetuate the mess.
Tony Abbott, the news poll came out yesterday, and we're going to be hammered over the head with these things every week, I reckon, until September or August or October, whenever this election takes place.
Mm.
And we, you know, the Labor Party MPs were told yesterday by members of caucus to come out and talk about the poll in terms of negatively against Tony Abbott, about his negativity and so on. Is that the only gun, a bullet they have in the gun?
Oh, well, look, they've got nothing in the arsenal. 2 points. People say, oh, what are the issues coming into election this year? What is going to be the big issue? And they're going about education and all this sort of stuff. Listen, there's one issue. Are we going to elect a government who has over and over and over again simply told lies? They lied about grocery watch, they lied about fuel watch, they lied about computers in schools. They lied about building an education revolution, which has got nothing to do with putting buildings up, which were far too expensive. They lied over pink bats and 4 young people lost their lives. They lied over carbon tax. They've lied over the surplus. Simple issue. You want to elect an outfit that's prepared to lie and lie and lie to get itself out of trouble. That's what you've got in Canberra now. If you want it, good. Go for it. I won't be, but if that's what you want, go for it. Second thing is about negativity. I was a former Australian coach. I'm watching the test match. We're playing the All Blacks. My centre misses 3, 4, 5 tackles, just like the Gillard government has missed a million tackles on every front. When we get off the paddock and we review who we're going to put next time, obviously I have to point out to my selectors, who are in this instance the electors, what were the problems, what were the weaknesses of that player? He missed tackles. He couldn't get off the line. He couldn't hold the ball. They are couched in negatives for the selectors to understand the need for change. Now, for the selectors to understand, and the people who we're talking to now, the need for change, of course Abbott has to prosecute the enormous weaknesses and dishonesty of the incumbent government. Now, this man, though, is a man of a vaulting intellect. As the time passes, there will be instances where he'll be outlining policy, I'm sure, which will take Australia in a brand new direction. But I'll tell you one thing. It's a hell of a monumental job. They've destroyed the joint, and now someone else, he's got to try and make a home and live inside it. They've run money up. When they came to power, the borrowing limit was $75 billion. It's now $300 billion. Holy Nelly. So the inheritor of this mess is going to have an awful task in turning it back. But nonetheless, you can't proceed and continue with the crowd that are there. They have presided over, as I saw one professor of law from Queensland say 2 weekends ago, they presided over the worst government since Federation.
And just finally, you mentioned selections and selectors before. Mm. I know we've spoken a lot about Australia.
Send him to Centrelink as well. In rarity.
There's going to be a queue. Well, I've never heard a bloke speaking riddles like this bloke does. Mm. Every time they name a squad, 4 players are in, 4 players are out. Doesn't matter whether they're in form, out of form, hurt or not. 4 players in, 4 players out. 5 players in, 5. No one knows what's going on. The players have no idea what's going on.
And the players hate it, I can tell you now. I spoke to them.
Of course they do. They want to play cricket, what they're paid for. Now we've got to
look at the crowd last week at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. The public are fed up. They're not going to take their son along with a ticket if Australia are not playing. Someone said to me, Australia lost the one day international against Sri Lanka. I said, no, they didn't. Australia didn't play.
I've never seen a side like that before.
Australia didn't play. That wasn't our best team. A selector has one job and one job only. Pick the best team and get out of their way. They can't do that. They should go as well. We've got a few people to get rid of, I think.
Tell you what, this is a long queue out the door. Can't wait for Monday week.
We need another Centrelink offer.
And the Aussie Open, you've been following all of that. Bernard Tomic, good win last night.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, have I been telling you for a long time now, this kid is all class. Now, let me say one thing to you. In life, as in sport as in life, you keep things simple. You cannot lose a tennis match if you don't lose your serve. You cannot lose a tennis match if you don't lose your serve. And I remember saying to this kid 12 months ago, listen, you're the tallest man around, your serve's dreadful, reach up and hammer it, and they won't beat you. Have a look at the serve on him. They're going to struggle to break this kid's serve. While ever that's the case, he is in the running for the big biscuits. Make no mistake, the Federer-Tomic third-round clash will be monumental. On the other hand, Andrew, remember one thing, Federer's got to beat your mate.
What's his face? I saw he won the first round. Where is he? Nikolai Davidenko.
He's got to beat your man.
The Fed is going to beat this moping, sad-faced Russian for all he's worth.
Hang on, there'll be a tribunal after you.
I'll bring him on. I've got you to walk me down there.
And Serena, of course.
Yes.
You know, that's just, I hope she's okay. I guess you won't know for a couple of days.
She lost about 5 points after looking like she's going to be out of the tournament.
Wasn't that funny?
Unbelievable.
Just went bang whack. poor other girl won 10. How many points did the other girl win? 11 points.
11 or 12 in the whole match.
Yeah, watch it. You've never seen anything like it before.
I don't know how she can possibly get beaten there in Melbourne. All right, now listen, when you yep. come back, try not to stuff up the good work we've been doing over the last few weeks.
I'm told. Yes, I'm told that. Yes, I'm very good indeed. And look forward to sort of catching up with you in that argumentative mode that we embrace about 5 to 6. I'll give you more than 30 seconds this time.
I really doubt you will, despite your best intentions. Thank you for giving me 20 minutes this morning. Enjoy the rest of your break.
You're most welcome.
Bye-bye. See you, mate. Alan Jones, host of this show, and he'll be